Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. Stagflation is not very good for most stocks in nominal terms and terrible for even more in real terms. The alarming employment data coupled with a large spike in oil prices due to the war in Iran helped send stocks down for the worst weekly performance in nearly a year last week. However, this is not a classic case of stagflation caused by a huge boost in the monetary aggregates. It is instead the result of an energy shock, and therefore, for at least the most part, it could be reversed whenever there is a truce reached in the war in Iran. The price of oil is currently up about 40% from where it was before the start of the war. The world produces about 82 million barrels of oil per day, and Iran exports 2 million barrels per day. Therefore, Iran is responsible for only about 2%, less than 2%, of global oil exports. Iran's production going offline is not the problem. It's not causing a spike in oil prices. The issue is the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, because 20 million barrels per day travel through the Persian Gulf. But if the U.S. is indeed close, that's what we're being told, they're close to wiping out Iran's ability to wage war, as Trump claims, then they should not be able to keep the channel closed for very long at all. However, is this the truth? President Trump said on Monday to CBS News that the war on Iran is, quote, very complete, close quote. As a result, the S&P rallied 2.5% off the lows on the day. However, an hour later, Trump said the U.S. will, quote, not relent, and the war needs to go further, close quote. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, then followed by proclaiming the most intense bombing of Iran would occur on the day after Trump said the war effort was complete. Iran subsequently started laying mines in the strait. This is after the U.S. Energy Secretary said the U.S. was escorting tankers through the Gulf and that there was no mining being done, both of which turned out to be untrue. Is this what they call the fog of war, or is it more accurately stated, the lies of war? For me, there is a big similarity between how Trump views this war as he does the tariffs. They are highly susceptible to comment and to a tweet. Trump is the world's best salesperson. Once Brent crude oil spiked above $100 a barrel, U.S. stocks started to dive, nosedive. Trump engineered comments that were intended to placate markets. Even if they weren't true, they came out anyway. This is the same function that occurred with tariffs. The Liberation Day tariffs pronounced on April 2nd of last year were rescinded on April 9th after markets became what Trump described as yippy. Perhaps we will see something like that happen with the situation in the Gulf. I think that's going to be the case. However, tariffs are not nearly as complicated as a war is complicated. The assassination of the Ayatollah, Iran's supreme leader, is a much greater transgression in the mind of the radical theocracy that runs the country in Iran than is a duty placed on its exports. Now, in my view, there was perhaps a moral imperative to take out the leadership of Iran that recently slaughtered tens of thousands of its own citizens just for protesting the regime. However, there is no way the U.S. has any business at all whatsoever in a protracted war in Iran that involves regime change and nation building. No way! I suggest this conflict could have concluded in 24 hours. After the U.S. and Israel took out the heads of state, we should have just made the proclamation that if the new leadership pursues a nuclear weapon or conducts another mass murder of its population, we're going to take them out as well. But it is ultimately up to the people of Iran to put in place a benevolent regime and decide how their nation is run, not the United States. Regrettably, the battered U.S. consumer who was already suffering an affordability problem is now having to deal with much higher energy prices. Higher energy prices hurt the consumer in two ways. First, the roughly $350 worth of fiscal stimulus per taxpayer from the one big beautiful bill is now going to be used to pay utility and gas bills instead of increased discretionary spending. And secondly, the higher inflation caused by spiking energy prices reduces the Fed's ability to cut interest rates. In other words, the highly anticipated and well-touted fiscal and monetary boost for the economy in 2026 is being canceled. On top of this, we have an economy that is no longer creating net new jobs. The February non-farm payroll report highlighted the weakness in the labor market. The economy lost 92,000 jobs last month, and the unemployment rate climbed to 4.4%, up from 4.3% in January. Also, the two-month revision showed there were 69,000 less jobs created than originally reported. In fact, over the past 3 months, we didn't have just one bad month. Over the past 3 months, there has been an average of just 6,000 net new jobs created. Meanwhile, the credit markets continue to fracture. The credit markets are the nucleus of the credit bubble. BlackRock froze $1.2 billion in withdrawal requests from its $26 billion private credit fund. The company capped withdrawals at just 5%. This is after the company just last week had put $400 million of its own cash to provide liquidity for the fund. Also, JP Morgan just announced today it's marking down the value of the collateral held by private credit firms and reducing their borrowing capacity. We know why they're doing that. They can lie and obfuscate all they want. There's big trouble in private credit. And I've been predicting this would happen for about a year now. By the way, in case you're keeping score, the Fed printed $15 billion of high-powered money last week alone just to keep prices elevated, asset prices, stock prices elevated. And Powell, who is by far the biggest money printer in American history, is not quite destroying the purchasing power of the dollar fast enough to please President Trump. So Trump wants to replace Powell with someone that will do a better job of crumbling the currency. Yep, that is what the U.S. has become. Accept it and profit from it is all we can do. We could pray about it too, but we're going to try our best to make sure that our family's safety and health and prosperity isn't harmed by this lunacy. The energy engendered stagflation is starting to rear its ugly head, yet it may be reversed if Trump finds the off-ramp I believe he's now seeking, much the same way he backed away from his Liberation Day tariffs. Nevertheless, there should be a more lasting premium in energy prices even after the war officially ends. This is because, much like U.S. sanctions and confiscations of foreign assets turn countries away from holding dollars and towards hoarding gold, energy may now be hoarded due to the chaos and damage caused by the war. We are now reducing some of our foreign equity exposure, which is the most susceptible to the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, and taking on more defensive equity positions, ones that have been back-tested to thrive during this temporary sojourn in stagflation. We're going to come back to stagflation big time in the future, but right now it shouldn't last all that long. I think we're more likely to go into Sector 1 before we go to Sector 5. Sector 1 being disinflation, rapid disinflation, deflation, and recession. Buy and hold is a lazy and terrible investment strategy, and one Pento Portfolio Strategies will never embrace.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.